Chapter 1. Understanding the Real Meaning of Mind Reading. Welcome to Chapter 1 of The Art of Reading Minds by Henrik Fexeus. Let's start by busting a myth right away. Mind reading is not a superpower. It's not about telepathy, psychic abilities, or reading someone's innermost secrets by gazing into their eyes. It's something far more practical, far more powerful, and entirely learnable. Mind reading, according to Fexeus, is simply the ability to understand what another person is thinking or feeling based on their behavior. This includes their body language, facial expressions, gestures, vocal tone, breathing patterns, and overall energy. In short, it's about reading the signals people send, many of which they don't even know they're broadcasting. Imagine walking into a room and knowing instantly who's upset, who's pretending to be confident, who's open to talking, and who'd rather be left alone. That's the power of mind reading. It gives you social X-ray vision. Why is this important? Because we live in a world where we interact with others constantly. Whether you're talking to your partner, negotiating with a client, trying to comfort a friend, or leading a team, your success depends on how well you understand people. Words are just the surface. In fact, studies suggest that only about 7% of communication is verbal. The remaining 93% is nonverbal, broken down into 38% vocal tone and 55% body language. That means if you're only listening to what people say, you're missing most of the message. Let that sink in. When someone tells you, "I'm fine," but says it with tight lips, lowered eyes, and a slouched posture, they're not fine. And you knew that not because of their words, but because of their body. That's what mind reading is really about. It's decoding what people mean, not just what they say. The foundation, observing without judging. The first skill to build as a mind reader is observation without judgment. Most people observe others through a filter of their own beliefs, experiences, and assumptions. This distorts the truth. Fexeus teaches that to truly read minds, you must observe like a scientist, objectively and without bias. Don't assume that crossed arms mean defensiveness or that a smile always means happiness. Context is everything. Instead, focus on collecting data. What is the person doing physically? How is their tone? How do they behave in a neutral situation? What changes when they're under pressure? Your goal is not to label behavior as good or bad, but simply to notice it. This is what Henrik Fexeus calls calibrating. It's your first step toward reading minds accurately. Calibrating the person in front of you. Imagine you meet someone for the first time. They seem energetic, speak quickly, and make lots of gestures. You mentally take note. This is their baseline behavior. Next time you meet, they're quiet, barely moving, and speaking in a flat tone. You immediately sense something is off. Why? Because your brain has now learned their natural state and can recognize when it changes. That's calibration. You're learning to detect deviations from someone's baseline, and those deviations often indicate an emotional shift, stress, excitement, discomfort, or even dishonesty. Pro tip: start calibrating people you know well, friends, coworkers, family. Observe their natural behavior in relaxed settings. Then observe how they change under pressure, in public, or during emotional conversations. The more calibrated you are, the easier it becomes to read what's going on inside their minds. The role of empathy. Reading minds isn't about control, it's about connection. Fexeus emphasizes that empathy is your most powerful tool. The more you care about understanding others, the better your instincts become. Empathy doesn't mean feeling what others feel. It means being aware of what they might be experiencing and respecting it. Ask yourself, what might this person be going through right now? Are they anxious, excited, hiding something? What clues can I gather from their face, body, or tone? When you approach people with genuine curiosity and kindness, they open up more. You don't need to be manipulative to read minds. You just need to be present. Real-life example, the silent meeting. Let's look at a real-world example. Imagine you're in a business meeting. A colleague is presenting an idea, and one of the managers is sitting back in their chair, arms crossed, foot tapping. They haven't said a word. Most people might ignore them, but if you're reading minds, you're picking up the signs. Their crossed arms suggest a barrier. The foot tapping shows impatience. Their silence may indicate disagreement, or they're waiting to speak up with a challenge. You decide to address them gently. Do you have any thoughts on this direction? They immediately sit forward and say, "Actually, yes. I was just trying to decide the best way to raise a concern." You've just unlocked a hidden dynamic in the room because you noticed what no one else did. That's the power of observational empathy. Exercises to build awareness. Fexius offers simple but powerful exercises to strengthen your mind-reading muscles. People watching with purpose. Next time you're in a cafe, on a train, or at the mall, watch people quietly. Try to guess their emotional state based on body language. Are they stressed, happy, bored? Silent movie challenge. Watch a movie or TV show on mute. Try to follow the story using only the characters' expressions and gestures. This builds your ability to decode nonverbal communication. Mirror journal. After social interactions, reflect in a journal. What did you notice in the other person's behavior? Did anything seem off? What clues did you pick up? How did their body match or contradict their words? These small habits sharpen your perception, and over time you'll begin to notice things others completely miss. Summary: what you've learned in Chapter 1. Mind reading is not magic, it's mindful observation. Over 90% of communication is nonverbal. The key to reading minds is noticing patterns and changes in behavior. Empathy, calibration, and presence are your foundational tools. Practice makes perception sharper. In this chapter, you've unlocked the first secret, that understanding others doesn't begin with speaking, it begins with watching. The art of reading minds starts with silence, observation, and curiosity. As we move into Chapter 2, we'll explore how to decode specific physical cues, the language of the body. You'll learn how hands, posture, eyes, and even breathing can reveal what someone is truly thinking before they ever say a word. Chapter 2, The Secret Language of the Body. Welcome back. In the previous chapter, we uncovered the foundation of reading minds, observation, calibration, and empathy. Now, in Chapter 2, we dive deeper into the body's secret language. Because when words lie, the body still speaks. Henrik Fexius emphasizes one powerful truth. The body can't hide what the mind is thinking. Even when someone tries to conceal their thoughts, their body will leak small unconscious signals, also known as micro-expressions or nonverbal cues. These signals are the key to unlocking hidden emotions. Let's explore the body's vocabulary in detail. 1. Facial expressions, the window to emotion. The human face is a powerful tool. With over 43 muscles, it can express more than 10,000 combinations of emotion. While many expressions are intentional, like a polite smile, others are automatic. One of the most important things to notice is the micro-expression, a brief involuntary facial movement that reveals a person's genuine emotion before they mask it. Micro-expressions typically last less than a second, but they speak volumes. For example, a flash of disgust might appear before someone agrees with you, suggesting they don't truly support your idea. Tight lips or flared nostrils may indicate suppressed anger. Raised eyebrows and widened eyes often signal surprise or skepticism. Practice tip: watch interviews or debates with sound off. Can you spot the subtle flashes of emotion on people's faces? The more you practice, the faster your brain gets at decoding these instant tells. 2. Eye contact, trust, or tension. The eyes reveal attention, intention, and emotion. But contrary to popular belief, more eye contact doesn't always mean honesty. Here's what to observe. Direct, steady eye contact often shows confidence or confrontation. Excessive blinking can be a sign of anxiety. Looking up to the right might mean someone is imagining a scene. Looking down to the left may suggest they're recalling a feeling or memory. Avoiding eye contact can signal discomfort, guilt, or shyness, but sometimes it's just a cultural habit. Fexius advises watching how someone's eye behavior changes when they shift topics. If their eyes dart away suddenly when talking about a specific subject, it may reveal emotional resistance. Pro tip: don't stare. People feel uncomfortable under too much scrutiny. A relaxed gaze combined with soft body language makes others open up naturally. 3. The hands never lie. Our hands are expressive and often reveal what we're thinking faster than our words do. Consider the following. Open palms indicate honesty and openness. Clenched fists may suggest tension or anger. Touching the neck, face, or hair is often a self-soothing behavior, signaling stress, nervousness, or uncertainty. Pointing fingers can appear aggressive and controlling. Hidden hands, for example, in pockets or behind the back, may suggest discomfort or guardedness. Fexius emphasizes that when people are genuinely relaxed and honest, their hands tend to be visible, expressive, and loosely open. Want to spot someone lying? Watch their hands. Do they suddenly stop moving? Do they start fidgeting? Truthful people often use their hands naturally while talking. A sudden reduction in gesture flow could signal hesitation or deception. Say 4. Posture and positioning. The body story. The way someone holds their body tells you how they feel inside, even when their face tries to hide it. Key posture signals. Leaning forward suggests interest and engagement. Leaning back can indicate evaluation or disinterest. Turning the torso away often signals discomfort or emotional withdrawal. Crossed arms may mean defensiveness, but also comfort. It depends on the context and the person's baseline. What about feet? Fexius says feet never lie. People tend to point their feet toward what they like or away from what they don't. If someone's body is facing you but their feet are pointing toward the door, it might mean they're looking for an exit, literally or emotionally. Try this at your next social gathering. Watch where people's feet point during a group conversation. It often reveals who they're paying the most attention to. 5. Breathing and micro-movements. Breathing patterns are another hidden giveaway. Fast, shallow breathing often signals anxiety or excitement. Deep, slow breathing shows calm or control. A sudden breath hold or sharp inhale can indicate surprise or stress. Also, notice micro movements like swallowing hard, shifting weight from one foot to another, or a quick twitch in the lips. These are subconscious reactions to emotions. When paired with other signals, these tiny cues become incredibly revealing. Real life scenario: reading a job interview. Let's look at an example from Henrik Fexius's experience. Imagine you're sitting in on a job interview. The candidate speaks confidently, smiles a lot, and says they're excited about the role, but you notice something off. Their hands stay under the table. They blink rapidly when asked about their previous job. They swallow hard when asked about long-term goals. Their feet point toward the door. These subtle cues might suggest they're not as confident or enthusiastic as their words suggest. Maybe they're unsure about this position, or perhaps they're hiding a reason they left their last job. You don't confront them. Instead, you ask a follow-up question. What made you decide to leave your previous company? Now you're giving them space to explain, and you're watching carefully how their body responds. Reading the body is like listening to a second conversation happening beneath the words. Key takeaways from Chapter 2. The face reveals hidden emotions. Watch for micro expressions. Eye movements show how someone processes thoughts. Hands and posture reflect confidence, discomfort, or deception. Feet often point to interest or escape. Breathing and subtle movements are silent signals of the mind. Henrik Fexius teaches that the body is an open book. You just need to learn the language. And like all languages, fluency comes with practice, attention, and curiosity. In the next chapter, we'll explore how to sync with others by mirroring and building rapport, a crucial step in creating deeper connections and trust. Chapter 3: The Power of Mirroring Building Instant Connection. In Chapter 2, we uncovered how the body speaks its own language through posture, gestures, and micro-expressions. Now, in Chapter 3, we move into one of the most powerful tools in the art of reading minds, mirroring. Henrik Fexeus introduces this concept not as manipulation, but as a way to build rapport, that feeling of, this person really gets me. Mirroring creates a deep sense of connection, safety, and trust between two people, without saying a word. Let's break it down. 1. What is mirroring? Mirroring is the subtle act of copying another person's behavior, their posture, gestures, facial expressions, tone of voice, or even breathing rhythm. Why does this work? Because of something called mirror neurons. These special brain cells activate both when we perform an action and when we observe someone else doing it. In other words, when you subtly mirror someone, their brain registers, this person is like me, and that opens the door to influence and connection. You've probably seen this happen naturally. Two friends leaning the same way during a chat, a couple sipping drinks in sync, a group laughing in rhythm. It's a subconscious way of saying, I feel what you feel. 2. How to mirror naturally. Mirroring should never feel forced or obvious. If done awkwardly, it can create discomfort. The key is subtlety and timing. Start with posture. Match how they are sitting or standing. Are they relaxed or upright, cross-legged or leaning forward? Gestures, if they touch their face, scratch their head, or use hand motions, follow. But after a few seconds. Speech rhythm. Match their pace, tone, and even volume. If they speak fast and excitedly, match that energy. If they're calm and soft-spoken, slow down. Breathing. This one's powerful. If you synchronize your breathing with theirs, the connection deepens instantly. Important. Don't mirror everything. That feels creepy. Instead, choose 2-3 elements and mirror them with a slight delay. Think of it like a dance, not a copy machine. 3. Mirroring emotions, not just movements. Fexeus teaches that the most effective mirroring happens emotionally. If someone is feeling anxious, meet them with calm empathy, not hyper energy. If they're enthusiastic, match their excitement. This is called emotional calibration, tuning into someone's emotional state and reflecting it with sincerity. Example. Imagine your friend is stressed about an exam. They're pacing and talking fast. Instead of saying, calm down, mirror their energy level first. Walk with them, match their speed, listen intently. Then, once you've matched them, lead them into calmness by gradually slowing your movements and speech. They'll follow your pace without even realizing it. This is called pacing and leading. First, you join them where they are. Then you guide them where you want them to go. 4. Building trust with mirroring. Henrik Fexeus points out that we tend to trust people who understand us, match our energy, reflect our values or beliefs. Mirroring taps into all three. Let's say you're meeting a new client. They're stiff, formal, and reserved. If you come in overly relaxed or loud, it creates a disconnect. Instead, mirror their formality, match their style, and slowly ease into friendliness. This signals respect and understanding. Over time, they'll become more comfortable, and that's when true communication begins. This technique works in job interviews, sales calls, dating, team building, even parenting. The result? The other person feels seen, safe, and connected. That's real power. 5. How mirroring affects influence. Want to become more persuasive? Start by mirroring. Research shows that people are more likely to say yes to someone who mirrors them, even in subtle ways. That's because it creates a sense of familiarity and shared values. But remember, the goal is not manipulation. The goal is connection. Mirroring builds a bridge between your world and theirs. Once that bridge exists, ideas and influence can flow naturally across it. Fexeus reminds us that influence isn't about dominating someone, it's about joining them and gently guiding them forward. Real-life example: diffusing a conflict. Let's say you walk into a room where two coworkers are having a heated argument. One is angry, standing with crossed arms and raised voice. The other is silent and defensive, leaning back. To connect and calm the angry one, don't immediately tell them to relax. That usually backfires. Instead, mirror their intensity just slightly. Stand tall. Speak with a firm but calm tone. Acknowledge their emotion. I can see this really matters to you. Once they feel seen, start lowering your voice and body tension. You're leading them toward a calmer state. They'll often follow unconsciously. Moments later, the temperature drops. A real conversation begins. 6. Pitfalls to avoid. Fexius also warns about common mistakes. Mirroring too much. If you copy everything, it looks fake. Being out of sync. If you're too slow or obvious, they'll notice. Lack of empathy. If you're mirroring for personal gain, people will feel manipulated. The secret is authenticity. Use mirroring because you genuinely want to connect, not to control. Practice exercise. Try this in your next conversation. Observe the person's posture and energy level. Mirror one aspect, maybe how they sit or their speaking speed. Gradually add another, maybe their gesture or breathing rhythm. See how the connection shifts. You'll be surprised how quickly people open up when they feel matched. Key takeaways from Chapter 3. Mirroring creates deep rapport and emotional connection. Use posture, gestures, tone, and breathing for subtle alignment. Emotional calibration is more important than physical mimicry. Use pacing and leading. Match first, guide later. Authenticity is the heart of influence. Mirror with empathy, not ego. In the next chapter, we'll uncover how to decode verbal cues and hidden messages in everyday conversation, and how what people say isn't always what they mean. Chapter 4. Listening Between the Lines, Decoding Verbal Language. In Chapter 3, we discovered how mirroring can create instant trust and connection. Now, in Chapter 4, we'll dive into a different kind of reading, the one that happens through words, but not just the words people say. We're going deeper into what they really mean. Henrik Fexius reveals that most people listen to what's being said on the surface, but if you want to read minds, you must learn to listen between the lines. People often speak in code, not intentionally, but because they aren't fully aware of how much their word choices reveal. In this chapter, you'll learn how to spot patterns, clues, and hidden meanings in everyday conversations. 1. The words we choose. Reveal our thoughts. Every person has a unique way of representing their inner world using language. Fexius explains that we all filter reality based on our dominant senses, sight, sound, touch, taste, or internal feelings. These filters shape how we describe experiences. For example, a visual person might say, "I see what you mean," or "That looks good to me." An auditory person might say, "That sounds right," or "I hear you." A kinesthetic person might say, "I feel like this is right," or "That doesn't sit well with me." By tuning into these verbal cues, you can understand how someone processes the world and tailor your communication to match. When you match their language style, they'll feel more understood and more connected to you. 2. Listening to metaphors and phrases. Fexius shows that metaphors aren't just poetic, they're windows into someone's mind. Consider this. If someone says, "I'm under a lot of pressure," they're likely feeling physically burdened. If they say, "I'm stuck," they might feel trapped or unsure how to move forward. If they say, "I'm drowning in work," they may feel overwhelmed and helpless. These phrases aren't random, they're emotional maps. And if you reflect them back using similar language, it builds instant empathy. For example, you're feeling stuck. Let's explore some ways to help you move forward. You feel like you're under pressure. What can we do to lighten that load? It's not about parroting words. It's about reflecting the deeper emotional truth. 3. The power of presuppositions. People don't always express their core beliefs directly. Instead, those beliefs show up in presuppositions, assumptions hidden within their sentences. Example: why does no one ever listen to me? This sentence presupposes people don't care what I say. I know I'll mess this up again. Presupposes I always fail. I can't change. Fexius teaches us to listen carefully to what people believe about themselves and the world. These beliefs shape their behavior, confidence, and choices. As a mind reader, your job is to spot these patterns and respond with compassion or challenge them gently if needed. 4. Notice what's not being said. Sometimes silence speaks louder than words. If someone avoids a topic, hesitates, or gives vague answers, they might be hiding uncertainty, discomfort, or even deception. For instance, you ask, "How was your weekend?" They reply, "It was fine," with a pause and a forced smile. The tone, timing, and hesitation suggest that fine doesn't mean fine. Fexius urges us to pay attention to incomplete sentences, shifts in tone, sudden topic changes, exaggerated answers like always or never. These are signals that there's more beneath the surface. 5. Spotting incongruence, when words and body don't match. Sometimes a person's body language contradicts their words. They might say, "I'm okay," but their arms are crossed, shoulders tight, and eyes down. This is called incongruence, and it's a golden clue. Fexius explains, when people lie, feel conflicted, or are unsure, their verbal and nonverbal signals go out of sync. It's like the body is trying to tell the truth, even when the words are trying to hide it. When you spot this, don't accuse. Instead, ask open-ended questions to create space for honesty. Example: you say you're okay, but I sense you might be feeling something else. Want to talk about it? This approach encourages safety and honesty, and that's where real communication begins. 6. Using verbal cues to influence and guide. Once you can recognize someone's language patterns, you can use that to guide the conversation more effectively. For example, if someone often says, "I just can't see how this will work," respond with visual cues. Let's look at the big picture and visualize some possible paths. If they say, "This doesn't feel right to me," use kinesthetic cues. What would make this feel more comfortable or grounded? Speaking their language builds instant trust and allows you to gently influence their perspective. Real life application: coaching a team member. Imagine you're a team leader and an employee says, "I always mess up when it comes to presenting." Instead of brushing it off, listen deeply. This sentence contains presuppositions, "I always fail," and emotional language, "mess up." A powerful response might be, "You feel like presentations haven't gone the way you wanted in the past. What would a successful one look like for you?" By reflecting their language and asking thoughtful questions, you help shift their mindset without resistance. 7. Don't just listen, understand. Fexius emphasizes that the art of reading minds is not about guessing what people are thinking. It's about creating a space of understanding so they feel safe enough to reveal what's really going on. Words are tools, but it's how you listen to them and respond that creates transformation. Practice exercise. Next time you're in a conversation, listen to the exact phrases the person uses. Identify if they use visual, auditory, or feeling-based words. Reflect back their style with your own words. Notice if they relax, open up, or become more engaged. The better you become at hearing the deeper message, the more powerfully you can respond and connect. Key takeaways from Chapter 4: Language Patterns Reveal How People Think and Feel. Match sensory language styles to build connection. Listen for metaphors and presuppositions to uncover beliefs. Watch for incongruence between words and body. Reflect language back with care to guide conversations effectively. In the next chapter, we'll unlock how to spot lies and deception and how to trust your intuition when something feels off. Chapter 5: The Truth Behind the Lies, Detecting Deception and Hidden Motives. Welcome to Chapter 5. We've learned how to observe body language, mirror emotions, and decode verbal clues. Now we step into one of the most fascinating and sensitive areas of reading minds, detecting deception. Let's be clear, this is not about becoming a human lie detector to accuse or expose people. It's about developing your intuition, sharpening your perception, and knowing when something doesn't add up. Henrik Fexeus reveals that most lies aren't criminal. They're subtle, social lies, emotional cover-ups, or moments when people hide parts of the truth to protect themselves or others. But even those lies leave a trail. And when you know what to look for, you can read the signs with clarity, compassion, and confidence. 1. Why people lie. Fexeus explains that people lie for many reasons: to avoid conflict, to protect their image, to prevent embarrassment, to manipulate or gain control. But not all lies are malicious. In fact, many are defensive, a way of saying, "I don't feel safe showing my real self." That's why mind reading isn't about catching lies. It's about understanding what the lie is protecting. 2. The telltale signs of deception. There's no single movement or phrase that proves someone is lying, but there are clusters of signals that suggest something isn't right. Here are common indicators: avoiding eye contact or suddenly holding it too intensely, over-explaining or giving unnecessary details, touching the face, nose, or mouth frequently, fidgeting or shifting body position rapidly. Incongruence: words say one thing, body says another. Delayed responses, as if rehearsing answers mentally. But the real magic comes when you compare this behavior to their baseline. 3. Establishing a baseline. Fexeus emphasizes, to detect deception, you must first know the person's normal behavior. Some people avoid eye contact all the time. It doesn't mean they're lying. Others fidget naturally or pause before speaking. So before you jump to conclusions, observe how they behave when relaxed, their speech rhythm and tone, their usual gestures and expressions. Once you know their baseline, you can spot when things shift, and that shift is your clue. 4. Spotting the emotional disconnect. When people lie, there's often a disconnect between their story and their emotion. For example, they say something sad, but their face is flat or even smiling. They express joy, but their voice is dull and monotone. This mismatch is a signal. The brain struggles to fake both content and emotion simultaneously, so one often slips. Pay attention to whether the emotion matches the story. If not, explore further, gently. 5. Verbal clues to watch for. Fexeus points out specific phrases that may suggest dishonesty. To be honest. Why preface honesty? I swear to God. Honestly, I don't remember. Why would I lie to you? These are often defensive phrases, meant to convince you rather than communicate naturally. Also, note if someone repeats your question before answering, it may be a sign they're stalling for time. 6. The power of pauses and gaps. Sometimes it's not what's said, but what's not said. Long pauses, abrupt subject changes, skipping details they'd normally mention. These gaps can signal discomfort or a hidden agenda. Here's how to respond without pressure. That's interesting. Tell me more. You paused there. What were you thinking? You mentioned X, but not Y. I'm curious why. This gentle curiosity often opens doors, if the person is ready. 7. Trusting your intuition. Henrik Fexeus emphasizes that your gut feeling is one of the most powerful tools in mind reading. Have you ever felt something was off in a conversation, but couldn't explain why? That's your subconscious detecting microsignals, tiny gestures, tone changes, or emotional inconsistencies. You don't need to prove it, just trust it enough to explore deeper. Your intuition is not a courtroom, it's a compass. 8. Creating a safe space for the truth. The more judgmental or aggressive you are, the more people will lie. Fexeus urges us to create an environment where people feel safe, accepted, not threatened. When people feel safe, they lower their guard, and the truth emerges naturally. So instead of saying, "Are you lying to me?" try, "It's okay if that wasn't the full story, I'm here to understand." This approach invites honesty, not fear. Real life example, a friend hiding stress. Imagine a friend says, "I'm doing great," but their shoulders are slouched, their voice is flat, and they keep touching their neck. You sense something's off. Instead of confronting them, you gently say, "You say you're okay, but I'm sensing something else. Want to talk about it?" This creates a moment of honesty and deeper connection. You didn't accuse, you observed and responded with care. That's real mind reading. 9. Deception in professional settings. At work, lies are often subtle. "I'm almost done with that project, but haven't started." "No issues here, but problems are brewing." Learn to listen for overcompensation, excessive confidence to mask insecurity, deflection, changing the topic or blaming others, vagueness, lack of details or specificity. When you sense this, don't push. Ask clarifying questions. What does done look like? What's the next step from here? What challenges are you seeing right now? This helps you get to the truth without creating resistance. 10. Know when to let it go. Finally, Fexius reminds us, not every lie needs to be confronted. Sometimes people lie to themselves to survive. Sometimes they're not ready to face their own truth. The art of reading minds isn't about proving others wrong. It's about empathy, awareness, and knowing when to speak and when to stay silent. When you listen, observe, and respond with compassion, even hidden truths begin to reveal themselves. Key takeaways from Chapter 5. Lies often reveal fear, not malice. Look for clusters of behavior, not just one sign. Establish baselines to spot changes. Watch for mismatches between words and emotion. Use questions and empathy, not confrontation, to uncover truth. In the next chapter, we'll explore how to influence others without manipulation, using the power of subtle cues and emotional alignment. Chapter 6. Influence without manipulation, guiding minds with subtle power. Welcome to Chapter 6. Now that you've learned how to observe thoughts, detect hidden feelings, and sense truth beneath the surface, we step into a deeper realm, influence. Henrik Fexius makes a bold claim. You are always influencing others, whether you realize it or not, but influence isn't manipulation. Manipulation is when you force, deceive, or pressure someone into action. Influence is different. It's about guiding someone's thoughts or emotions without violating their trust. It's a skill you can use to motivate your team, help a friend make a wise choice, support your child's growth, or simply improve your everyday communication. Let's unlock the subtle psychology behind real influence. 1. The foundation of influence, connection. Before you influence anyone, you must connect with them. Why? Because people don't follow logic, they follow trust. Influence begins when the person feels seen, understood, respected. Fexius says, your ability to influence begins the moment someone feels safe in your presence. And how do you create that? Through the skills we've already discussed, eye contact, mirroring, active listening, emotional empathy. Without connection, influence becomes manipulation. But with connection, it becomes guidance. 2. The rule of reciprocity. One of the strongest forces in human behavior is reciprocity. When someone gives us something, attention, kindness, help, we feel an urge to give something back. To influence someone, begin by offering value. Give them genuine praise. Help solve a problem. Share useful insight. Make them feel important. When they feel uplifted by you, they naturally open their mind to your suggestions. This is influence rooted in generosity, not control. 3. The power of subtle framing. How you present information changes how it's received. This is called framing. Example, instead of saying, "You should exercise more," try, I've noticed how much better I feel when I take a short walk each morning. Have you ever tried that? You're not giving orders. You're sharing a story, a feeling, or a suggestion. This invites curiosity, not resistance. Fexius shows that small changes in phrasing can create big shifts in behavior. 4. Mirror their language. People trust those who sound like them. That's why Fexius teaches the technique of verbal mirroring. Listen for their word choices, pace of speaking, emotional tone. If they say, "I feel stuck," don't respond with logic, respond emotionally. "That sounds frustrating. Want to talk through it?" By using their language, you step into their world, and that builds influence from within. 5. Influence through questions, not commands. Telling people what to do creates resistance, but asking the right question triggers ownership. Instead of saying, "You need to change your attitude," ask, "What's something you could shift today to feel a little better?" Questions don't challenge a person's ego. They invite reflection. When the idea feels like it came from them, they're far more likely to act on it. 6. Use anchoring to influence emotion. Fexius introduces the concept of emotional anchoring. Here's how it works. Help someone access a specific emotion, like calm, joy, or motivation. Link it to a physical gesture, like touching their hand or pointing to an object. Later, when you repeat the gesture, it reignites the emotion. It's subtle, powerful, and respectful. You're not controlling their emotions. You're simply helping them reconnect to their own internal resources. 7. Nonverbal influence, the silent power. Words are only part of your influence. In fact, your body speaks louder than your voice. Here are a few nonverbal influence tools. Open posture conveys confidence and receptivity. Head nodding encourages agreement. Pauses after key points signals importance. Smiling with warmth increases likability and trust. When your body aligns with your intention, your message becomes magnetic. 8. Planting ideas with priming. Priming is the art of preparing someone's mind before delivering a message. Fexius gives this example. If you say, "This might sound a little crazy," before sharing your idea, you've primed their brain to see it as odd. Instead, say, "Here's an interesting idea I've been thinking about," and their brain opens to explore it. What you say before your real message sets the stage for how it's received. 9. The influence of certainty. Confidence is contagious. When you speak with conviction, not arrogance, people lean in. They trust your belief. Fexius says, "The most persuasive people aren't the loudest, they're the most certain." To build this certainty, be clear in your mind first. Believe in what you say. Speak slowly and calmly. People sense your emotional state beneath your words. If you're grounded, your influence deepens. 10. Never violate consent. This is the golden rule of ethical influence. Do not try to change someone who hasn't invited you to. Real influence is not about control, it's about cooperation. If someone says no, respect it. If they're not ready, wait. If they ask for space, give it. Fexius reminds us that forcing your view ruins trust, but offering it with respect builds a bond that lasts. Real-life example, a manager shaping team culture. Imagine a team that's disengaged, disorganized, and frustrated. The manager could yell, or threaten, or guilt trip, but instead, she chooses influence. She starts by listening, really listening. She mirrors their language, frames new ideas gently, uses questions like, "What would make this easier for you? What small win can we aim for this week?" She praises effort, not just results, shares stories of resilience, models calm behavior. In a few weeks, morale lifts, the team moves in sync. Not because they were told, but because they were inspired. That's the power of influence, with respect, empathy, and presence. Key takeaways from Chapter 6. Influence begins with trust, not pressure. Use questions, stories, and framing instead of commands. Mirror language and emotional tone to build connection. Anchor positive emotions with subtle gestures. Respect boundaries. True influence honors freedom. In the next chapter, we'll go deeper into emotional intelligence, how to read and regulate emotions in real time, both in yourself and others. Chapter 7, Emotional Intelligence Reading Feelings in Real Time. Welcome to Chapter 7. At this point in your journey, you've learned how to observe people's behaviors, decode their body language, and even influence their decisions subtly. But there's one skill that ties everything together: emotional intelligence. Henrik Fexeus emphasizes that real mind reading isn't about reading thoughts, it's about reading emotions. Emotions are the invisible language we all speak, whether we realize it or not. They're constantly guiding our decisions, reactions, and connections. And those who can read them can lead them. 1. Why emotional intelligence is everything. People act on emotion before logic. When someone avoids a topic, gets defensive, changes posture, or suddenly goes silent, it's not just behavior, it's an emotional shift. Fexeus says, if you want to truly understand someone, stop analyzing their words. Start feeling their feelings. Emotional intelligence means recognizing emotional states in others, responding with empathy and awareness, managing your own emotional reactions in real time. 2. Recognizing emotional cues. So how do you spot emotions as they arise? Here are signs to watch for. Tension in the jaw or neck indicates stress or discomfort. Rapid blinking may signal anxiety or overwhelm. A tight smile masking irritation or nervousness. Sudden quietness often means emotional withdrawal or self-protection. Emotions show up before words. The more present you are, the more you'll see them. 3. Matching their emotional frequency. Here's a powerful technique: emotional matching. When someone's feeling low, don't try to cheer them up too quickly. That creates emotional dissonance. Instead, match their emotional tone. Acknowledge their feeling. Then gently lead them out of it. Example: if your friend looks down and says, "I've just been so overwhelmed," don't say, "Come on, you'll be fine." Say instead, "That sounds really hard. Want to talk about it?" This creates emotional safety, and from there, you can shift the mood together. 4. Self-awareness. Watch your own emotional leaks. You're not just reading others, they're reading you too. Your posture, tone, and facial tension constantly send signals. If you're irritated, anxious, or distracted, it shows. Fexeus explains that emotionally intelligent people don't hide their feelings, they manage them. Before any interaction, ask yourself, how do I feel right now? What am I projecting? Is my energy helping or hurting this moment? Mastering others starts with mastering yourself. 5. Emotionally intelligent language. Words carry emotional weight. Compare these phrases. Why did you do that? Sounds accusatory. What made you decide that? Sounds curious. Calm down. Often fuels more anger. I'm here with you. Take your time. Lowers emotional walls. Fexeus reminds us, the tone behind the words matters more than the words themselves. Speak like you care. Pause like you are listening. Breathe like you're calm. 6. Mirroring emotion, not just movement. In earlier chapters, we talked about mirroring body language. Now we take it deeper. Mirror their emotional state. If someone's joyful, reflect enthusiasm. If someone's solemn, show quiet presence. This builds rapport faster than logic ever could. People trust those who emotionally resonate with them. 7. Know the difference between empathy and absorption. Empathy is feeling with someone. Absorption is getting pulled into their emotional storm. Emotionally intelligent people hold a calm center. They listen deeply, without losing their balance. Fexeus shares a simple technique. When someone shares something emotional, take one conscious breath before responding. This grounds you, keeping your nervous system calm. Then, respond from clarity, not from emotional impulse. 8. Reading the group emotion. It's not just individuals, groups have emotions too. Walk into a room and you can feel it. Excitement, tension, fatigue, resistance. Fexius calls this the social field. If you want to be a great communicator, you must learn to read the room. Is the group open or closed? Are people leaning in or pulling away? Is the energy flowing or stuck? Once you read the group emotion, you can shift it with tone, presence, or even silence. 9. Using emotion as a compass. In the end, emotions are not obstacles, they're guides. They show you what matters, what someone fears, what someone needs. By tuning into emotions, yours and others, you build a deeper connection than words alone can offer. This is the highest form of reading minds, not predicting thoughts, but feeling into hearts. Real life story, the leader who led with emotion. A team was in chaos, burned out, frustrated, demotivated. Their leader tried pushing harder. It backfired. Then, one day, she walked in and simply said, "I can feel that something's off, and I think I haven't been listening well. I'm here now. Can we talk?" The room softened. Tears came. Honest truths were spoken. Walls dropped. She didn't solve the problem with strategy. She solved it with emotional presence. That's what reading minds really means. Key takeaways from Chapter 7. Emotional intelligence is the foundation of all communication. Read emotional cues before reacting to words. Match emotions before guiding them. Be aware of your emotional signals. Listen with your heart, not just your ears. Next, we'll move into the final chapter, practical applications, where we take all your skills and show you how to use them in daily life. Chapter 8, Real-World Mind Reading Everyday Applications of Mental Influence. Welcome to Chapter 8, the final step in mastering the art of reading minds. So far, you've learned how to read body language, interpret micro-expressions, match emotions, and influence without manipulation. But what's all this knowledge worth if you can't apply it in real life? Henrik Fexius makes it clear, mind reading isn't a performance, it's a practice. It's not about impressing people, it's about connecting, understanding, and leading with empathy and awareness in every interaction. Let's dive into how you can use these tools in your daily life, at work, in relationships, social situations, and more. 1. In conversations, listening beyond the words. The average person listens to reply. The mind reader listens to understand. In any conversation, try this. Pay attention to how they speak, not just what they say. Observe shifts in tone, volume, and tempo. Watch their eyes. Do they light up or go dull? Track their posture. Do they open up or shut down? When you spot incongruence between words and emotion, gently explore it. Example, they say, "I'm fine," but their voice is flat and shoulders tense. You respond, "You don't sound fine. Want to talk?" This opens the door to deeper, more meaningful connection. 2. At work, reading the room and leading effectively. In meetings, presentations, or team dynamics, mind reading gives you an edge. Let's say you're pitching an idea and your client starts crossing their arms, leaning back and avoiding eye contact. Don't just push through your script. Pause. Ask something like, "Does that sound aligned with what you need?" Or even better, "You seem hesitant. Can I clarify something?" By naming the feeling without judgment, you show emotional leadership. Teams follow those who make them feel seen and safe. 3. In relationships, deeper bonds through emotional awareness. Every relationship, romantic or otherwise, thrives on unspoken understanding. You don't need to be a psychic. You just need to notice when your partner withdraws slightly, when their responses are shorter than usual, when their smile is a little less bright. Then ask with care, "What's going on in there? You've been quiet. Are you okay?" Often, what someone needs most is to feel felt. Mind reading in love means tuning into the emotional frequency, not assuming but sensing. 4. In conflict, de-escalation through empathic influence. Arguments usually aren't about the topic. They're about emotional signals being ignored. To de-escalate conflict, Fexius suggests match the other person's intensity first. Then slowly guide the emotional energy downward. Example: if someone's angry, don't whisper. Meet their volume at first, then lower your voice. Use calm body language, soft eye contact, and open palms. Emotion follows emotion. By controlling yours, you help them regulate theirs. 5. Social settings. Confidence without control. When you walk into a room full of strangers, what do you do? Mind readers don't try to control the situation. They observe it. Who is the social leader? Who's anxious? Who's relaxed? Where's the energy flowing? Then they mirror the group's pace. Start small. Observe before speaking. Build rapport subtly by syncing with posture, tone, and emotional vibe. Once aligned, you can begin to influence with ease, not force. 6. In sales and persuasion, subtle influence. Sales is not about talking. It's about listening. If you sell a product, a service, or even an idea, your job is to enter the other person's mental space. Ask more questions than you answer. Watch for shifts in facial expression. If they lean forward, they're engaged. If they glance at the door, they're done. Great influencers adjust in real time, not with scripts but with sensitivity. The best persuasion is invisible. It feels like trust. 7. With strangers, building instant connection. Ever meet someone and instantly feel comfortable? That's not magic. It's emotional mirroring. When meeting someone new, match their posture subtly. Use similar words and rhythm. Reflect their emotional energy. Do it naturally, not mechanically. When they feel understood, trust builds fast, even in minutes. 8. Daily practice. Building the mind reader's habit. Here's the truth. Mind reading isn't something you do once in a while. It's a way of being present. Start practicing today. Spend one day in full observation mode. No judgments, just notice. When talking to someone, try to guess what they're feeling, then ask if you're right. Practice breathing slowly and grounding your energy in conversations. The more you observe, the sharper your intuition becomes. And over time, what once felt like guesswork will become second nature. Final reflections. It's about connection, not control. Fexius reminds us, mind reading isn't about power, it's about presence. It's about understanding people better, helping others feel safe, seen, and heard. Creating more meaningful conversations. Becoming someone people want to open up to. You don't need superpowers. You just need attention, empathy, and practice. Story: The Mind Reader in the Coffee Shop. A woman sits alone, staring at her phone. She seems distracted. A stranger at the next table smiles and says, "Long day?" She looks up, surprised, then laughs. They start talking. 20 minutes later, they're deep in conversation, exchanging stories, life lessons, and phone numbers. It wasn't a pickup line. It wasn't a trick. It was one human tuning into another with real presence. And that's what mind reading is really about. You've learned how to read body language and emotions, understand subconscious signals, influence ethically and respectfully, build deeper connections through presence. Your next step: practice it every day, in every interaction, with kindness and curiosity. Because when you understand others, you make the world a little more human.